Thank you. Thank you. So our gospel reading this morning comes from the third chapter of John. It is that passage that Jeff mentioned in talking with the young people just a few minutes ago. So let us listen to these very familiar words from Scripture with new ears so that we might hear God's voice and God's presence in our lives. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." And Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. And indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. For the Word in creation, for the Word in Scripture, and for the Word within us. Thanks be to God. There are many different perspectives from which to hear this story about Nicodemus and Jesus. As I heard Jeff talk, I was reminded that this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, which I'll talk about in just a moment as well. But we just don't realize how familiar things get to us in our faith. And so sometimes we need to look at things from a slightly different perspective. And what I would like to do first this morning is just look at this story from the perspective of Nicodemus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus with a question. He is truly curious about what's going on with Jesus. Now, it's not that Nicodemus doesn't have answers. He has answers to life's questions. He's a Pharisee. I mean, he has more than enough answers. He is trained in the law. He is a religious leader in the community. His life's work is giving people answers. However, he comes to Jesus seeking and searching, in the way that so many people do, and perhaps we can be included among these people simply from the fact that we're here on a Sunday morning instead of on the beach, instead of out on the bay, instead of at the golf tournament. We have chosen to come here. So in many ways, we are like Nicodemus. And in so many ways, he is the most important person in this story to us, because he represents us coming to Jesus, even though we have our religious beliefs, even though we have our theology, even though we have our liturgies, our practices. We are thoroughly saturated in religion, yet we still come seeking and searching. Jesus invites Nicodemus to open himself up to the movement of the Spirit with this little phrase, born from above, or in some translations, born again. Born from above, born again. But however we translate it, Jesus says, here in the passage, he says that being born again is about the movement of the Spirit, a Spirit that blows where it will. We do not know where the Spirit will blow or where it will take us, but we are called to open ourselves to the movement of this Spirit. And this is what being born from above is all about. To be born again, to be born from above, is to let the Spirit blow away what was past, to give us a clean slate, and let the Spirit lead. This is a frightening place to be. It's a place that Abraham was in the Old Testament reading that we heard when God called Abraham to go into the unknown to find his inheritance. You know, the lectionary reading left off the very last phrase of that fourth verse from that reading that we heard this morning. Do you remember what it was? I included it intentionally. It was the reminder that Abraham was 75 years old when this happened. It's an uneasy, anxious place to open ourselves up to the movement of the Spirit. And Nicodemus stands on the edge. He stands on the edge of his certitude. Remember, he's a Pharisee. He has high ranking, high standing. He knows the answers. People come to him for the answers. And he has reached the edge of this certitude. And Jesus draws him into a new way of thinking. Draws him into a different way of understanding. Draws him into a new way that leads to a different way of living. And this new and different way is what leads us to one of the most iconic verses of the Christian faith that we heard mentioned earlier. Now, a simple definition of an icon is a one-dimensional static image, usually of a painting of a religious nature, but it is used as a devotional tool to experience a multi-dimensional nature of the subject or the scene that's depicted in the painting. For example, an icon of Mary and baby Jesus, which is a very popular icon painting, would be used to explore and experience the incarnate presence of God. But the icon itself is one-dimensional. And the danger in icons is the tendency to worship the image rather than use the image as a window into deeper understanding and experience. Now, I share all this with you about an icon because we not only do this with art, we do this with cultural things, and we also do it with Scripture. And this is pretty much what much of Christianity has done with John 3:16. All we have to do is say it, right? How many times have you heard people say, well, the gospel is John 3:16? Why, all we have to do is put it on a placard at a sporting event. Put it on a bumper sticker, and everyone is supposed to know what it means. We Christians hear John 3:16, and we sort of yawn and say, oh, well, I memorized that one as a kid. I know what it means. Without ever really thinking about what's the deeper meaning? What is behind this icon? What does it tell us? And when we look beyond the surface of the iconic verse, it can take on new meaning. It can take on a different meaning for us. For God so loved the world. Not just a few people. The whole world. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him. Belief. What is belief? You know, in the New Testament, belief is much, much more than intellectual assent. We pretty much think of belief as just intellectual assent. Oh, I believe that. I believe that table is there. I believe this room is here. We ascend intellectually and say, yeah, I believe that. But in the New Testament, belief is much, much more than that. To believe means to trust. It means to be totally convinced of, to make a foundational decision as to who we are and how we see the world. It is much, much deeper than just to intellectually accept something. Belief is also a verb. It that requires an object. In if you remember your English grammar classes, this is what we call a transitive verb. A transitive verb has to have an object. You can't just believe. You have to believe in something or on something or for something. And that brings us to, here's our English lesson goes further, the little preposition. And prepositions are so important in language. These tiny little words. In Greek as well as in the English language, they have many different meanings, but they're translated in many different ways. And we have a tendency to translate these prepositions in our scriptural translation in ways that are sometimes not quite the way that the original reads. We get lazy. For example, the preposition in in this Greek phrase is eis. And eis means numerous things. It means into, unto, to, towards, among, for. It's a preposition that's used to connote forward movement toward something. So to believe in, to believe into, to believe unto, believing toward, believing among. It has movement to it. And what are we to believe in? Because we have to have an object. It says we are to believe in the Son. Now, please note that this does not say Jesus. Jesus doesn't say you have to believe in me. He says you have to believe in the Son, and he's already told us who the Son is. The Son of Man. That's Jesus' favorite term for describing himself, but not as Jesus. He describes himself in broader terms as the Son of Man. And the Son of Man is this phrase that is filled with meaning for the people that Jesus is talking to, because you see, it's used in the Old Testament as an understanding of humanity. Son of Man is a representative phrase about humanity. It's representation of all of humanity. And this is the title that Jesus chooses for himself. In a rough translation would be, Jesus is saying, I am the superhuman. I am the fullness of humanity. Jesus shows us how to be human. And the Son of Man is the Son that is mentioned in John 3:16. So think about it in these ways. I think we're safe in translating this as this only Son as all of humanity. And if we do this, this passage is telling us that Jesus comes showing us living completely as the Son of Man, as the iconic representative figure of what it means to be truly human and created in the image of God. This is what Jesus brings to us. And to not perish and have eternal life is to live into this. Being who we are created to be. You hear me use that phrase a lot. Jesus invites Nicodemus to be born again as the human he is created to be. And I would say, we are invited to do the same. And the very good news of this whole story is that Jesus says to Nicodemus that God sends the Son into the world not to condemn the world, not to condemn people and tell everybody how bad and how rotten we are, but to save the world. And save the world by reminding us what we are created to be. Good in the image of God. So this iconic passage, this iconic verse invites us not to a place of certitude, where we have the answer, but to a place of mystery, incredible mystery, that opens our lives to the movement of the Spirit. Seeking God's will in our lives, searching for our true humanity. A true humanity in which we have been created in God's image. And it is through Jesus Christ that we begin this journey. Now, there's just one more word in our passage today that we need to consider before we leave it, and that's this word, eternal, eternal life. So many times in the gospel when we hear someone talk about eternal life, we immediately think that it has something to do with something that's coming down the road, more likely after we die. But right now is part of eternity. Because eternity is timeless. And we are called into the kingdom right now. And we are promised this salvation right now. Because we are in eternity. So when we accept the reality that we are children of God living in eternity, that is good news, which we call the gospel. Amen. Before we have our charge, I want to remind everyone of our Lenten opportunities during the week. We have a Wednesday night study that we are calling the School of Love, as we explore the concept of love and what it means in our lives on Wednesday evenings. This week we will be talking about, last week we talked about love of neighbor. This week we will be talking about love of ourselves. And then on this Saturday evening, this coming Saturday evening at 5 o'clock, we will have a special worship service. We're having three of these throughout Lent on Saturday evenings for some of you perhaps, some of your friends, your neighbors that may want to come to a worship service on Saturday evening. Please feel free to invite people to come to this and come as well yourself to the Saturday evening worship at 5. My friends, there's something that we rarely talk about in this story about Nicodemus and Jesus. And that is that this is not just an intellectual exercise where Jesus and Nicodemus are having a theological discussion. This is a transformational moment in the life of Nicodemus. Because you see, we encounter Nicodemus two more times in the Gospel of John. One time, Nicodemus is among his fellow Pharisees, and they're talking about killing Jesus. And Nicodemus speaks up and says, "But we just can't kill anybody for no reason at all." And then the next time Nicodemus shows up is at the foot of the cross as he helps take Jesus down from the cross. It's Nicodemus that brings the spices and the oils to anoint his body. This is a Pharisee whose life was transformed. As Jesus tells him, "I have come to show you how to be truly human, how to be who you are." And it changes his life. So let us go from this place today knowing who we are, created in God's image, filled with the Spirit that moves at will, but also takes us to some very anxious places sometimes, but is always with us. Let us go knowing that we are children of God. Amen.